Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
So close. So close. Yeah, it's so far away.
I don't think we won a lot of battles when we had opportunities. But as the game went on, we had some good minutes. Third period was better, and we had some really good. I mean, I think Jonesy makes just a hell of a play in the overtime, the first shift, out of our end zone, making sure we have control of the puck and joins the rush. It's a great pass by Wenning. So we'll take the point and get out of here.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella talking about his team's 2-1 shootout loss last night in Washington to the Capitals. Welcome to CBJ in 30. I'm Bob McElligan. Was that result surprising? No, I don't think so. Second game of a back-to-back set for the Blue Jackets. I thought they went in and they played well. Not well enough to win as a team, but they were backed by Sergei Bobrovsky last night, who was absolutely, positively terrific in the game. In yesterday's Columbus Dispatch, Tom Reed had talked to Alex Ovechkin after the Capitals' morning skate, and Ovechkin said about Bobrovsky that he gets up for the big games, that he would be ready. Ovechkin thought he would be ready for that game last night. Well, he knows his fellow countrymen very, very well. Sergei was up to the task and was perfect through 65 minutes and then gave up a shootout goal to TJ Oshie. Yes, the guy that exploited him time and time and time again in the shootout in the Sochi Olympics a couple of years ago. Oshie had his way with Bobrovsky again, and that's all that the Capitals needed, as it turned out, to get the 2-1 shootout victory last night. But it was a good game, and it was a game with very much a playoff feel to it. And again, the Blue Jackets, they weren't terrible in the game. They weren't good enough to win, but they weren't terrible in the game. There were little things that they did wrong, and against a team like Washington, especially a team that was sitting at home and waiting for them to come in, those little things make big differences in games. But listen, when it comes to the playoffs, if the Blue Jackets and Capitals play a game that is deadlocked after 60 minutes, we'll just play another period and then another period. There will be no more 3-on-3 overtime. There will be no more shootouts. And so the best team will have to prevail at some point in time. But the 3-on-3 overtime was terrific last night. The Blue Jackets had such great opportunities. Torts alluded to the chance that Seth Jones had coming down the ice and just lost control of the puck at the last second there. But he jumped up offensively in the play, had a really good chance to end it. It didn't happen, but Bobrovsky made sure that when the Capitals had a chance to end it in overtime, that didn't happen either. So let's hear from some of the players from last night's game, and let's just start with the guy I was talking about, Blue Jackets defenseman Seth Jones.
Obviously, we want to win every game in regulation or just win in general. We played hard tonight. We're playing a good team, and not everything's going to go our way. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of momentum changes. PK did a great job tonight, including Bob, like I said, gave us a chance to win, and it comes down to a shootout.
You had the one chance in overtime. Mm-hmm. Was it just did he get a piece of it or just put it a little
wide? No, I just missed that. Just bounced over my stick. Just tried to bring it to my backhand and get him moving a little bit, and then put it short side and just bounced over.
It seemed like that first period. Took you guys a while to really get your game going. Maybe two periods, honestly.
Yeah. We're very good at self-assessing the way we play, and we didn't play how we needed to play. We gave them a lot of pucks in the neutral zone, a lot of free ones, a lot of free chances. They had 30 shots out in two periods, which is unacceptable. But like I said, it all comes back to Bob. So that seems to be the most consistent thing we've had this year.
Do you still feel pretty good coming out of this game?
Well, it's nice to get a point, but we didn't play how we know we can play. First two periods we weren't good enough, and third period we came out and scored a goal, started working down low a little bit, made him play defense, which is something that we wanted to do all game, but it was just you know, comes onto a shootout at the end of the day, which kind of sucks, I guess.
Yeah, he's right. That is Seth Jones, by the way. He's right. It does kind of suck that it came down to a shootout, but that's the way it goes during the regular season. And as I said a few minutes ago, once you get to the playoffs, there will be no such thing. You'll just continue to play 5-on-5, and you'll go and you'll go and you'll go until it's over. But the Blue Jackets did give it effort last night. As Seth said, maybe at points they didn't give it what they needed to give it, but they're able to come out of there with a point. I don't think it should be all doom and gloom because they didn't beat the Capitals. They didn't necessarily fully lose to the Capitals either. They go into today just 3 games behind Washington, 1 point behind Pittsburgh, plenty of games to play, 1 more head-to-head with Washington, 1 more head-to-head with Pittsburgh. Washington has actually what could be a grueling road trip for them coming up. They have to play 5 games over 4 time zones here in the next couple of weeks, so it's not an easy road for them either. And then we keep talking about the Blue Jackets and the Capitals, and the Penguins are in between there. The Penguins are in the middle. The Penguins are the defending Stanley Cup champions. I think for the Blue Jackets, what you have to make sure of is that you're not facing the Washington Capitals in the first round. You've got to be facing the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round, and you've got to have home ice advantage in that series against Pittsburgh. Now, again, easier said than done. Looking at the schedules of what the two teams have left, you can see how easy it is to say and not to do. And I'll break down that schedule for you. I'll tell you what everybody has left here in just a little bit. But let's hear from Sergei Bobrovsky, because he was the star of the show for the Blue Jackets. Braden Holtby, who's a guy that is challenging him for the Vezina Trophy. Holtby won it last year. He will be back in the mix again this year. He's challenging Bobrovsky for that title. He was very good for the Washington Capitals, too. I don't think he had to make as many big saves and difficult saves as Sergei Bobrovsky did, but he did a solid job, and he did get the job done. So it was a real battle of goaltenders last night, but Sergei was excellent for the Blue Jackets, and he talked after last night's game.
You feel personally you deserve a better fate after you as a season high for saves. Your guys were saying you basically got them that point.
Well, it is what it is. I mean, everybody works hard. Everybody gave what they got. I don't think if it's someone height or like back off and wanted to make mistakes. I thought everybody works hard. They still made block shots. They made the key plays, smart plays, and it is what it is, and today that's the result, and we move on.
It looked like there might have been a high screen on Orlov's goal. Did you not pick it up right away, or was it just a great shot?
No, I didn't see the puck fall.
Your buddy Orlov scoring on you there.
Yeah.
No more Christmas dinners?
No, why not? We enemies on the ice, but not off the ice.
Did you know it was him? Did you know he had scored?
I knew that, yeah.
Facing that many shots, obviously against that team, just you know the challenge of that when you're under the gun like that all the time.
It is what it is. So I don't have opportunity to choose how many shots they gonna face, and so I just play by the moment and focus to be here and give my teammates chance to win the game.
Knowing what this division is like, when coming down to the end, points wise, somebody's got to finish on top, but what kind of game was this to play in for you guys?
Yeah, it was great game. It was great atmosphere. Two really good teams play against each other. It was fun. It was still fun to play, and it's even more fun coming up.
That is Blue Jackets goaltender Sergei Bobrovsky, and yes, he and Dmitry Orlov are good friends, but as he said, they are enemies on the ice, not off the ice. And the other thing you could surmise from that entire exchange, it is what it is. And he's right. It is what it is. So here are the standings in the Metropolitan Division for the Blue Jackets. Here are the standings in the division and where the Blue Jackets rank after last night's shootout loss. Washington atop the division with 104 points. Pittsburgh, who lost in a shootout in Ottawa last night, they gain a point. They have 102. The Blue Jackets are in third place with 101 points. In the Atlantic, Montreal is being closed in on by the Ottawa Senators now. Ottawa, with that shootout victory, pulls to within 1 point of the Canadiens, 91 and 90. Those are the points of the top two teams. Toronto has jumped up into third place in that Atlantic division with 85 points. The wild card teams right now are the New York Rangers with 94 and the Boston Bruins with 82. And lurking on the outside, hoping to get in, the New York Islanders with 80 points, the Tampa Bay Lightning with 79. And that's it. I'm not going to count Carolina and Philadelphia. I'm just not going to do it. I think it's the Lightning and the Islanders that have any chance of catching the Boston Bruins at this point in time. So there you go. Those are the standings. Now, I told you I would let you know what everybody else has left and on their schedule and how that might affect things in the Metropolitan Division overall. Let's just break down the schedules that the other teams have left. Now, I'll put the Blue Jackets in there too, of course. Let you know how they match up with the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. So here it is. Washington, they have a game left. They will play Arizona. That's going to be tomorrow. That's a home game against Arizona. Then they're going to go out west, and they play at Minnesota on March the 28th. So what is that, 4 days from today, which is Tuesday. So they play on Tuesday at Minnesota, on Wednesday at Colorado, then on Friday at Arizona. Then they come back here and take on the Blue Jackets Sunday, April 2nd, and then go to Toronto for a game on Tuesday, April the 4th. They play at home against the New York Rangers the day after that. And then after a couple of days off, they play at Boston and finish the season at home against Florida. So there is that daunting road trip. And now look, they've got Arizona two times. They've got Colorado once. Those are three very winnable games on paper, right, for the Washington Capitals. But we saw the Arizona Coyotes beat the Tampa Bay Lightning the other night. And then you've got to go out through the time zones. So you're going to have Washington. They're going to play a game in the Central Time Zone at Minnesota. Then they're going to go out to the Mountain Time Zone and play Colorado and Arizona. They're going to come back to the Eastern Time Zone and play against the Blue Jackets and then the Maple Leafs. So they've got some challenges. Don't think that that's not going to be a challenge, that trip that they have to take. They're a good enough team to get through it for sure, but it is going to be a challenge for them. And that is, you know, when you're 3 points behind them, you're looking at that and saying, boy, I hope they stub their toe on that trip. I hope that they trip and fall. The Pittsburgh Penguins, what do they have left? Well, tonight they are actually at home against the New York Islanders. They're going to play three in a row at home, too. They play against the Islanders at home tonight. Then on Sunday, they'll take on Philadelphia. So Philly's going to be here tomorrow and then go right to Pittsburgh for a Sunday game. Then they will not play until March the 29th. They're at home against Chicago. Then they go play the New York Rangers on the 31st. Then in April, Sunday, April 2nd, they're at home against Carolina. They play against the Blue Jackets on Tuesday, April 4th at home. Then they go to New Jersey on Thursday, April the 6th. They finish off their season with a back-to-back. Just like the Blue Jackets and the Capitals, they are at Toronto on April the 8th, and they are in New York to play the Rangers on April the 9th. And the Blue Jackets have tomorrow's game against Philadelphia. On Tuesday, they play against the Buffalo Sabres at home. They'll be in Carolina on Thursday, in Chicago on Friday. They're back to take on Washington again, Sunday, April the 2nd, the Washington Capitals and the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena. Final head-to-head meeting with Washington. Final head-to-head meeting with Pittsburgh 2 days later in Pittsburgh. Then they come home to play against the Winnipeg Jets on April the 6th. And the final two games back-to-back on the road, Philadelphia April the 8th and Toronto April the 9th. So those are what the three top teams in the Metropolitan Division have left on their schedules. Tough all around. And, you know, you could break it down and say, well, you know, this team has an easier schedule based on the caliber of teams that they're going to play. And I think that's Washington. I really do. I think that's Washington. But the fact that they have to travel factors into what's going on there. So it's going to be an incredible race. I really believe it is. I think it's going to be something special to be involved in. And for the Blue Jackets, look at their schedule coming up. I think tomorrow's game is a winnable game. They just beat Philly couple of weeks ago, and they had to come from behind in Philadelphia. That's a winnable game tomorrow afternoon at home. Buffalo is a winnable game. They beat them once, they lost to them once, but they beat them here at Nationwide Arena. That's a winnable game. Carolina, they've struggled in Carolina. I know that the Hurricanes have points in 9 straight games coming into today, but for Carolina, they play well at home, but they're unless they are really hell-bent on being a spoiler, the Blue Jackets should be able to go in there and win that game. Then you go to Chicago. That's the second half of a back-to-back. That's a crapshoot, anybody's game, but one that'll be very easy to get up for. And then Washington and Pittsburgh will be up for those two games. You've got Winnipeg, who you beat once this year, and then Philly, Toronto to end it out. So there's winnable games on that list for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the other two teams are saying the same thing. And that's why it's going to be a very fun race to the finish here. And it's going to be intense. Yeah, and it's going to be intense because of what's at stake, whether it's the top spot, whether it's the President's Trophy, whether it's the top spot in the Metropolitan Division with the chance to play a wild card team, or whether it's to get second place and have home ice advantage in the first round at the very least. That's what these teams are battling for right now, and that's what's going to make it so special. So it will be fun to watch. Sometimes it'll be fun. Sometimes it'll be nerve-wracking. Sometimes it'll be downright frustrating. So get ready. Like this, there is still something to play for here, and I told you the other day, I think that's great because these games aren't going to be boring. They're not going to be ho-hum, so what? You know, if you win, you win. If you lose, nobody cares. Oh, yes, everybody will care. And it's about being ready when you get to the playoffs, and the Blue Jackets want to make sure that they are at the ready, and they can do that by going through that tough schedule that I just mentioned and finding a way to get as many points as they possibly can. Another interesting situation last night in the Pittsburgh-Ottawa game. Mark Methot, former Blue Jacket, he got slashed by Sidney Crosby and almost took off the top of his finger, as a matter of fact. So there was nothing called, and the league is not going to look into it any further, which has a lot of people up in arms today. Now, I watched the clip. Methot is coming into the zone. He's coming out of the neutral zone, trying to enter on the left-wing side near the boards. Crosby's coming over to challenge, and he takes a stick and he flicks him. And he caught him in just the right spot, obviously. Now, should it be a slash? Sure, it should be a slash because he took the stick and he initiated contact on the hand. So that should be a slash. As far as the league looking into it for any further activity, just because Methot's fingertip is almost cut off and he's coming to the bench, it's a terrible video. I mean, if you don't mind video that has a fingertip kind of dangling and a lot of blood, then go look it up and watch it. But, it's kind of part and parcel to the play, and I'm not trying to downplay it whatsoever. I mean, even Eric Carlson, the Senators captain, was quoted as saying, you know, those plays happen all the time, and they do. He's not trying to maliciously hurt anybody. He's trying to prevent him from holding on to the puck, and instead of getting the stick, he gets the hands. And I'm not being a Sidney Crosby defender here. I'm just saying you watch the game the way it's played every night, those things happen. But don't tell that to Eugene Melnyk, who is the owner of the Ottawa Senators, because he is just beside himself over that. And Melnyk was on TSN today. I think it was on TSN Radio in Canada. And here's the quote. He says, "We all know who he is. He's just a whiner beyond belief. You do this kind of stuff, I don't care who you are in the league. I don't care if you're the number one player in the league. You should sit out a long time for this kind of crap." And that's what Eugene Melnyk said. And yes, it was on TSN 1200 in Ottawa that he made that quote. So he's not happy. But this is not the first time Eugene Melnyk has weighed in on something like this. Remember when Eric Carlson got his, his Achilles that was cut by the skate of Matt Cook? Oh, and by the way, it happens to be the Penguins in that situation too, where he went crazy and he was, it was on purpose. And anyway, nothing came out of that. He's a frustrated owner, and I'd be frustrated too, because Mark Methot is one of the top defensemen for the Ottawa Senators, and head coach Guy Boucher says that he's going to be out for weeks after that slash that shattered his finger. So it's, but what has people all mad about it is the league's not going to look into it, and they're not going to take any further action. And many people believe it's just because it's Sidney Crosby, and Crosby can get away with anything that he wants to. Now it just so happens that I believe in the game before there was kind of a spearing incident. I say kind of because I didn't see it. I read about it. I didn't see it. People were up in arms about that. And this is what you have to understand. This is playoff time, and this stuff is going to happen. Just like the other night, what the Maple Leafs did to the Blue Jackets and the way they were running them from behind. This is the time where teams are desperate, and the Penguins are still desperate. The Penguins are trying to get to the top of the Metropolitan Division. And these things are going to happen. I mean, teams are going to step up their physical play, and they're not always going to do it the right way. I don't think Toronto did it the right way the other night. I didn't like the hits, and I certainly didn't like the one that knocked Oliver Bjorkstrand out, and he's going to be out for a while. And there was a two-game suspension put on Roman Polak for that hit. And Roman Polak, like, geez, that should really hamper the Toronto Maple Leafs. No, it won't. The Blue Jackets are the team that's hampered by it because they are without Bjorkstrand. But you didn't see anybody going out into the national media and crying about that hit. And again, I understand Melnyk's situation. He's He's an owner whose team is sitting right near the top of the Atlantic Division. They've had a very good season. They feel that they can do something in the playoffs, and now you're going to have to do it without one of your top defensemen. I understand it all. You know, but why? What I don't understand, I guess, is why does he answer the call? I mean, they call him, they ask him to do an interview, and he says yes, because he obviously wants to be out there talking about this stuff. I don't know. I don't know how you look at that, but you know, I think there are, you know, certain. I'm not going to say any more about it. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. I would stay away from it if I was him. Now, I say that, and then I might feel like, well, if I own the team, by God, I'm going to say whatever I want. So, whatever. But, you know, it's not, it's really not just a Crosby can do anything type of a deal. And I know that you probably feel like that, and I know many feel like that. But it's just the fact that this time of the year, it's going to get more physical. That's my whole point to this. It's going to get more physical all around, day by day, game by game, and you've got to be ready for it, because sometimes the teams that win the Stanley Cup are the teams that stay the most healthy on the way to the Stanley Cup, and that's playing through pain. I don't just mean guys that suffer injuries and miss games. I'm talking about playing through pain, finding a way, all those things. So this is what you've got coming the next couple of weeks. And again, the last two times the Blue Jackets were in the playoffs, it was a chase at the end just to get in and be that sixth seed or be that whatever the other one was. Maybe they were both that. I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. But my point is they were chasing and having to get their points late and get in. They didn't have to get in, or they didn't get in with so many games remaining and still so much to play for at the top of the division. So look for a lot more in the way of physical play and cheap shots. It's got to happen. So look for it. Start looking for it tomorrow afternoon. Blue Jackets and the Philadelphia Flyers going at it at Nationwide Arena. 2:00 start tomorrow, and that's going to be great. The Blue Jackets enjoyed the 2 1:00 games that they played last week. Playing the 2:00 game, I know they're going to be up for it. They've dropped two in a row. They see the Flyers as a very beatable opponent. They need the 2 points. They want them. They need them. They might need them even more after tonight. Who knows? If the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the New York Islanders, that would put the Penguins into a tie with Washington and open the gap to 3 between both of those teams and the Blue Jackets. So the points are going to be at a premium tomorrow against the Philadelphia Flyers. And it's an afternoon game. It's going to be a family day. It should be great. So I hope you're there with us. And if you're not, of course, you'll be able to hear the game on the Blue Jackets radio network with pregame coverage starting at 1:45 tomorrow afternoon. So it's a great Friday here in Central Ohio. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of that. And I will enjoy tomorrow's game, 2:00, Blue Jackets and the Flyers at Nationwide Arena. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.